It is good. It is so good to have you. We are marching through this series. It is not always my type of series because it's a topical series, but it is a good series. If you were here at the first lesson, part one dealt with the church being snatched away and all that has to happen to get ready for that time of the tribulation. Part two, we covered most of that last week, in the last lessons, dealing with the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. The church is snatched away, things are bad for Israel, and we ended that last week. So from the middle of the board over, that's the past couple of weeks of worth of lessons, the part one and part two. Today we're picking up on part three. It starts right here on this line with the 666 being put in place and all that. And we're going to press through this information, and these are just kind of notes. We're going to go through the dragon, Satan attack in Israel, the pale horse rider, the worship of the image, hellfire and brimstone, the sores coming on, the mountain thrown in the sea, the dead sea animals die, the fresh water turns rancid, the blood, the cry from the souls on the altar, the scorching heat, the natural light begins to fade, the locusts come out to sting, the apostasy is done away with, joy breaks out in heaven. We're going to cover that today in part three. And then next we will go to part four. And actually part four, you can't have it today, but part four is already ready for us. It's already done. It's already ready. Part four deals with just this period of time when fewer than 6 months are left in the tribulation and the gathering to the valley. There is so much information about the gathering up, those last 6 months, 5 months before the Lord returns. Then part five will deal with the Lord coming out of heaven at noon. That's the reason the clock's up there. It's at noon. It's when he comes out of heaven. The Battle of Armageddon, the second coming, that's the very last day of the 7 years of tribulation. It happens on one day. Actually, it just happens in the afternoon. And there's so much information about that that it'll take one full set of lessons also. And then we'll go into part six and part seven. I believe I'll be able to finish it with part seven. If not, there'll be a part eight when we get there. And you're just along for the ride anyway. You don't even care, do you? Just along for the ride. Well, with that, let's pick up. I want to do just a quick review because it's time for the great tribulation to begin. Remember, the whole time is called the time of tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of Israel's trouble. It lasts for 7 years. But the first 3.5 years, as we saw in the last part, is just really tribulation for Israel. But when the second 3.5 years begin, it becomes a great tribulation. And not only that, the tribulation for Israel, which is so great, begins to ooze out. Ooze, is that a good word? It's the way it happens. It's not a boom, it's there. It begins to ooze out all across the world so that by the time the end of the 7 years is completed, truly, truly, the world, whether you are part of Satan's group or you're part of the Lord's group or you're just kind of blank, you are feeling the effects of the great tribulation. Well, just a review. 3.5 years, up to the point where we are, right in the middle. We're right in the middle now. We're starting right in the middle, okay? Up the first 3.5 years prior to that. It's been 3.5 years since the church was snatched away from earth to go to heaven to be with the Lord. And there in heaven, the church is experiencing the holy matrimony with the Lord in the marriage ceremony, which also includes what we like to call the judgment seat of Christ. It's really a time of giving gifts, where the Lord is giving gifts and rewards to the members of the bride of the church. It is an exciting, exhilarating time for the church. Things are wonderful there, but here on earth, things are not so wonderful. So over those past 3.5 years, they've been difficult for the nation of Israel here on earth because they, three and a half years began, they were in a peace treaty and they began planting crops. And then the two witnesses came along and caused it not to rain, and the crops began to fail. And then the locusts, four types of locusts, came to eat the crops. And so Israel finds itself without food, and they have no one to turn to who will sell anything to them food-wise. While the two witnesses are here those first three and a half years, they are calling for Israel to return to the Lord because Israel is not believing in the Lord as their Messiah. Just as they do not believe it today, they will still not be believing it then at the beginning of the tribulation time. But still, these two witnesses are calling for Israel to come to the sanctuaries, to come and have a solemn assembly before the Lord. And even though they are starving, even though, or we might say, they are in a forced fast that has been put in place because of the lack of food, they have nothing to eat, the Lord wants to take care of that for them if they will just come to Him and to worship Him. Of course, they do not do that because they reject the witnesses of the two men. Next comes the king of Gog. Up north of Israel is the king, up in Rosh, Meshach, Tubal, and the other areas, who has been looking at Israel and saying to himself, I would like to have that country and all of its resources. Now, Israel may not have any food, but they're not poor by any means of imagination. So what happens is King Gog exacerbates the trouble of Israel because as the 3.5 years of tribulation is coming to an end, he, along with the kings of the east and the kings of the south, will come and attack Israel. Well, that's not going to happen because the revived Roman Empire supreme president made a treaty with Israel and promised to protect Israel. And so he hears that they're coming. He intervenes, and there is a massive battle in the valley of Jezreel, north of Jerusalem, several miles. And lo and behold, it is a mess on both sides of the battle. The king of the north, the king and the east and the south, they all lose a whole bunch of folks, plus they lose the battle. But the king of the west, the supreme Roman Empire, the beast, if you want to call him, the other place in the scripture, we misquote him and call him the Antichrist. It's not really who he is, but we misquote it, but it's okay. We understand because he is Antichrist, and he's just another one of those who is Antichrist. He comes, and he saves Israel from the king of the north, the east, and the south. But once he's there, he doesn't go home because he too wants Israel. He wants it to be his own. He too wants Jerusalem to be his own. And not only that, he wants the temple. And he wants to be worshipped as if he is God above all other gods. Now, this is all happening in the future. For those of you who accepted the Lord today, fear not. Fear not. You are not part of this. Why people worry about this, I do not know. But for those of us who've accepted the Lord, as this one has, we're out of here way back there when we are taken to heaven to be with the Lord. There's nothing in this that pertains to us. Now, if we have little children and kiddos that haven't accepted the Lord, or parents or whatever, they may be part of it, and it's a good reason why when we have found the Lord, and even when we don't know how to talk about it, we need to go share the Lord with those who do not know the Lord, because we want to be with the Lord, always with the Lord. Well, he breaks that seven-year peace treaty there in the middle of the 7 years, and then he's still in a fighting mood. You know, you get an evil person in a fighting mood, it's kind of hard to get an evil person out of a fighting mood. I'm not talking about spouses, but that does happen too. We know what we're talking about fighting mood, aren't we? You know, to get somebody in a fighting mood, he decides that he is going to deal with the two witnesses. Well, once the allotted 1,260 days for the ministry of the two witnesses is over. Remember, they cannot be harmed because they are the two witnesses of the Lord to Israel, and Israel hates them. Not only does Israel hate them, but the world has grown to hate them. Once their 1,260 days is over, they are finally vulnerable to attack, and they can be killed. Well, the supreme leader, the president, the beast, takes the opportunity, and in the sight of the world, he kills them in the streets in Jerusalem, and their bodies lay down on the ground. All over the world, everyone has seen this occur. Somebody must have their iPhone out there taping it when it happens, because within just a few seconds or minutes, it is seen across the world, if not instantly across the world. You realize this could not have happened 25 years ago or 20 years ago. You know, certain things have to be in place for these type of miraculous things to happen. We don't think about miraculous things, but when my father died in 1967, there wasn't anything called a TV remote yet. The best thing you could do for a TV remote is what my cameraman David Dunn did to his TV. He set his TV on the table at the end of his bed, and then he put eye hooks in the ceilings. And he ran a wire up from a string up from his headboard through the eye hook over the eye hook and wrapped it around the turn knob on the TV so he could pull the string and it turned the TV on, pull the other string and it turned the TV off. You did that, didn't you? Yes, you did. I thought it was ingenious then, and I'm still thinking it's ingenious now. I mean, my soul, whoever thought about being able to turn on and turn off a TV from, 6 foot away? Who would imagine that? That could not happen. Yes, it happens. Now it doesn't matter where you are. You can turn it on and off your TV in your house and your lights, everything from your phone right here sitting in this room. You can check the temperature on your house. You can turn your spa heater pool on. You can do just about anything. Listen, if the Bible says the entire world saw these two witnesses die instantly, the entire world is going to see it happen. So that's what happens. However, things don't go so well. In that 3 days, the whole world breaks out into a party. They're sending gifts as if people should be rewarded for these two witnesses to have died. And lo and behold, at the end of 3 days, they stand to their feet and the whole world sees it, and the whole world becomes fearful as they see it. And everyone sees it, sees them rise up to their feet and then begin to rise into heavens. That's all that needs to happen for Israel. Israel has now seen the light. They have seen the light. That miracle in the sky, coupled with the abomination of the supreme leader in the temple, was enough to change the hearts of the leaders of Israel. They realized that the message that those two witnesses were saying was true, absolutely true, and they believe in the Messiah. And for the first time since they rejected the Lord in 30 AD, their eyes are pointed to their Savior. But with the supreme leader in Jerusalem, along with the cleric of that apostate religion, and Satan here on earth after being thrown out of heaven at that war that we talked about last week in heaven, the next 1,260 days will truly be a time of the great tribulation of Israel, and that's where we're starting. Here's what happens. The next thing that happens is, with Satan's arrival here on earth, the man on the pale horse will emerge. He's coming to bring problems to Israel. He's bringing famine, more lack of food, more death by the sword, bugs and pestilence and wild beasts to come and run the folks down. He is coming, and death is coming with him. His name is Death, the scripture says, and Hades, or the place of the dead, will follow after him. And the scripture says, woe to the world because Satan, the old dragon, is on the earth now for a short period of time. Well, with that, with Satan doing that, an earthquake occurs. Now, there are several earthquakes in the book of Revelation. Some are the same. Some are different. The first one is a small earthquake. Well, not quite small, but it's smaller. It's not shaking the entire world like one that will happen later on at the end of part five. No, at the end of part four, we'll see one occur, and it will be pretty major. This one will occur there in Israel. And the reason why, when it does, 1/10 of the people of Israel will be killed. The earthquake in Jerusalem kills 1/10. And the reason, as it happens, the earthquake occurs to protect the rest of the people, the other 63,000 specifically that are in Jerusalem. Once in Jerusalem, Satan the dragon, that supreme president beast, the false prophet with him, and also Satan is there. They're infuriated. And here's the reason why. Satan has actually tried to drown these people, and he has spewed water towards them. But in order to protect the people, although 1/10 dies, the earthquake causes the water to go down into that quake, so that many, many of the Jews are survived. Jews are scattering to the four winds at this point in time. In fact, it's not going to be long after these days that there will be hardly a Jew left in the nation of Israel, because the beast, the supreme leader, Satan, and his army will be in Israel. They will escape. They'll run. They'll go here. They'll go there. They really go back to the four winds. However, in their escape, they've got some problems. They've got some cousins that don't want to see them escape. They are the Edomites. We call them Palestinians today, but they're the Edomites. They're the ones who, after the northern and the southern kingdom were exiled, they overran the promised land and began taking it over. And even when the 42,000 exiles came back, when Cyrus the Great allowed them to come back in 536 B.C., the Palestinians, the Edomites, still were overrunning the land. In fact, even in Jesus' day, they were overrunning the land. It will not be until 1948, when Britain forms the nation of Israel again, that the Palestinians are going to be squashed out of the land that they've taken over. They'll be squashed down to what we call the Gaza Strip, and they'll be squashed over into what we call the West Bank of the Jordan River. Even though it's on the east side of the Jordan, it's the West Bank. They're over on that side. And that's where they are today. Well, some of those Edomites, before the Lord returns, are going to go back down to their area in Edom, and they are going to repopulate the old Petra area, the old stone, where they had stone buildings carved in the stone rock. That's coming up in the next part of this lesson, not part three, but in part four, and I'll tell you more about that. But what's happening, and what is so sad, is these Edomites, these descendants of Esau, you know, the Jews are the descendants of Jacob, and the Arab tribes are the descendants of Esau. These Edomites will capture some of those fleeing new Christians, because they are Jews, but now they believe in Christ. So they're new Christians, and they believe in the eternal gospel that the witnesses have been sharing, and they will be captured by some of these Edomites to sell for a profit, or to trade, or to return back to prison. It is a bad deal. For Satan's focus is going to be on really causing problems for all of those people who hold that Jesus is the Savior and the Lord. Well, Satan will energize that supreme president, that beast, with great authority. More authority than he's ever had. Magical type of authority. And the cleric of the apostate religion, which we believe to be Islam, will require of everybody that's in the realm around and able to be part of that revived Roman Empire or do business with the revived Roman Empire. He will require everyone to worship the supreme leader as if he is God, and also to worship Satan. No one will be able, in any way, form, or fashion, to make war against Satan, this supreme leader, and this false prophet of the apostate religion. The words of that president will become arrogant, will be blasphemous as he speaks about the Lord Jesus. And he will do it for 42 months. The scripture there calls it 42 months, but it's easy to understand. That's 3.5 years. It's also 1,260 days equal 42 months. It's all the same. So he will constantly make war with the saints of God who are here on earth, killing them, beheading them if they are against him. Many, many of the saints, which includes all these new Jewish believers, many of them will die. In addition, or additionally, this false prophet, the cleric, who has deceived many, many of those who believe in his apostate religion, will also be energized. This cleric will be energized by Satan with great authority. He will be able to perform miracles, such as calling down fire from heaven. He will speak like Satan also, and he will have a replica of the supreme president created. And he will demand that everyone in the world worships this idol of the supreme president. Now, energized by Satan, this statue, this idol, will have the ability to speak and to kill. Mercy me. Now, I got news for you. I would even say 10 years ago, we would have trouble believing that any created thing could speak and kill. But if you have not seen our armed forces' new robots that walk like men with guns on their arms, you have seen such a thing on cartoons where they look like Transformers and all of that. You know, all of y'all are hip. I know that. You've seen your kids' shows they're watching where they walk around with guns, all these created robots and all that. You know, they start off as a car and they open up as a mean guy. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Our armed forces now have these robots. They don't have any heads, but they're just a body with arms and legs that walk, all engineered, all power, bulletproof, the whole nine yards, that can sense people out there, point the guns and shoot and speak. We got speakers. We got computers that talk to us. If you don't believe it, pick up your cell phone and ask that lady on that phone where you want to go. And she will tell you where you want to go, and you didn't even know that's where you wanted to go. She will tell you. You ask her where she is and where she came from, and she will tell you where she is and where she came from. You ask her to define a word, she's smarter than Webster's Dictionary. Well, at least it seems like she is, but she's getting that information from someplace. Let me tell you, even 10 years ago, we could not imagine something like a statue being created that could speak, could seem to have a rational mind in its thinking, and could kill if necessary. But I know it can happen today. It can happen. You ought to see the military dogs that they've got and what they look like. They walk like a dog. You know what they're for? Sniffing out bombs. How does a computer sniff? It don't matter. I'm still trying to figure out how my phone knows which way's up all the time. And I'm trying to also figure out how they took a little piece of clay and made it vibrate so my phone would buzz instead of ring. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me either. But evidently, something gets in there and starts banging around on something else, some energy molecules and whatever. I would really like to know how come my heart keeps ticking too, and how come I can think. That's an even bigger deal, right? And to think, God did that to all of us a long time before we were able to do anything else. You think we're smarter than the Creator? No, we're not. Well, I better get back to the lesson. This.